When Jews left Egypt, you know that they were traveling through the desert for 40 years. And in the desert, while they were walking around, they had a complete welfare state arrangement over there. God was taking care of them from A to Z. And one of the ways how God was taking care of them, they had manna was coming from heaven, and this is what they were eating for 40 years. Because in the desert, there was nothing was growing there. There's no vegetation. There's no fields. There was no trees. And the only thing that they would be able to eat would be this manna. And God was taking care of them by giving it to them. And we know that manna was falling from the sky every single morning before the Jews would wake up. Manna would land right in the encampment of the Jews, and they would go collect it. And it said that they had to collect manna just for that day. Because Jews, obviously, as it often happens, could have been worried. Manna fell out today, but I don't know if manna is going to be there tomorrow. So what would I do? What's the natural reaction of somebody like this in this situation to do? To take some for today and for tomorrow also, just in case. I don't know what's going to be tomorrow, right? So God said, no. You must collect every single day only for that day. And if Jews would collect more than what they need for that day, the manna would spoil, it would rot. They would not be able to use it anyway. Manna had a very short shelf life. But on Friday, they would collect manna for the following day as well, for Shabbat, and manna would not spoil. And this is because on Shabbat, you're not allowed to work. You're not allowed to go collect manna on Shabbat morning. That's why on Friday, people would go and collect for Friday and for the following day for Shabbat. And it would not spoil. And this is why when we make hamotzi, when we make a blessing on challah, Friday night, we have two challahs to commemorate exactly that. That Friday night, we had two portions of bread, two portions of manna that was given to us. So manna was essentially a test of their faith in God. Because first of all, manna would be falling out and you better trust that manna is going to fall tomorrow as well. Otherwise, you will be very, very worried. Every single day, Jews did not know how they will support themselves tomorrow. Nowadays, we have all kind of insurances and we have money saved up just in case. You know, we have savings accounts, we have retirement funds. All this is to protect ourselves in case of emergency or in case when we won't be able to make money, in case we will lose our jobs, God forbid. We have disability insurance, we have this insurance and that insurance. And back then, Jews did not have any of that. They had to have faith in God that manna is going to fall from sky tomorrow. And it says that we today should read about the story with Jews eating manna in desert every day because it reminds us about having faith in God. It reminds us that God is the one who is providing food for us. Very often, we will tend to think that our sustenance comes from our clients, from our business, from our boss, from whoever signs the checks that we receive. Really, our sustenance comes from God. All these clients and all these bosses and all these business partners and all the people who sign the checks, they are just vehicles through which God gives us our sustenance. And to remind that to ourselves, we have to read about manna. Now, there is another important point. Very often, people discuss about faith in God. Very often, people ask, do believe God? I don't believe God. These are like scholastic, philosophical conversations that people are having. Just like you could speak about someone. Do you believe this guy? You don't believe this guy. Or some information source. You know, nowadays, everybody's speaking about fake news. So, do you believe this information source? You don't believe the information source. So, when you speak about belief, it's very nice, but it's all theoretical. There's something which is even more important than belief in faith. And this is trust. You walk over to your friend and you say, do you believe me? He'll say, sure, you're my friend. I know you for so many years. I believe you. Well, if you believe me, then can I borrow all of your savings till next month? I'm sure this friend will get a little bit taken aback. Why? He might believe you, but the question is, does he trust you? There's a difference between belief and trust. Why? Because belief is theoretical. Trust is practical. Belief needs to be exercised when I'm sitting at home on my couch and I'm philosophizing. That's when we are speaking about our belief and faith. But when we are in a situation of need, and we need to rely on someone, this is when we speak about trust. It's no longer faith, it's trust. And it's very important for us, therefore, to have not only belief in God, but also trust in God. If I am talking about somebody who I don't really have much to do with, I will say, I have faith in him, I believe him. But if the question is, let's say about a business deal I need to make with someone, the question is whether I believe him. The question is whether I trust him. So whoever I am in a close relationship with, the question is about trust. Whoever I'm in a distant relationship with, or no relationship with at all, the question is about faith. So Judaism, the main point of Judaism is for us to establish a personal, close relationship with God. This is why Judaism is about trusting God. Not only having faith in God, having trust in God. Because when I am in a situation where nothing makes sense and things seem to be completely unfair and I don't know what's going to be tomorrow, I'm very, very confused. So then, do I trust God, who's running this world, to be orchestrating this plan that I might not realize exists? Do I trust God? When I think that things are falling apart and I have no clue what's going on, do I trust God that he will pull me through it? Do I trust that God who created this world also gave me enough strength to overcome the difficulties that he himself is giving me? He made me, he made this world, he put me in the situation that I'm in. So do I trust him that he put me in a situation that I can overcome? So these are all questions of trust. And the American dollar says on it, in God we trust. It doesn't say in God we believe. It doesn't say in God we have faith. It says in God we trust. And Lubavitcher Rebbe said that this is the secret of stability of our American currency. Because it says on it, in God we trust. As a matter of fact, it's the only currency in the world that says in God we trust. And that's why it's the most stable currency in the world. And the Rebbe spoke about it. Because when we handle this money, we realize that our sustenance does not come from our business or from our clients or from our partners or from our bosses. The dollar that I'm holding in my hands comes from God, because in God we trust.